Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to On Point. Subscribers again. Good afternoon and welcome to On Point. I'm Don Allen, and over in Studio A, we have my co-host, Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, it's a snowy Saturday afternoon out there.
Yeah, it is, Don. And then breaking international news there, I see the last of Gaddafi's sons that were still a fugitive was allegedly just captured in the southern deserts of Libya. I don't know if they've killed him on the spot or not. You know, I don't know if they want any of Gaddafi or relatives to testify about what's really going on. But anyway, that's a breaking story. And but I'm saying we got some breaking stuff here in our own Twin Cities, man, on this kind of overcast, ugly day. By the way, what's the road conditions, man? They tell me it's kind of slick out there.
Icy is slick. There's accidents on all kinds of bridges and overpasses. I mean, it's crazy out there. I have to hurry up and get back in. So.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. They should have put the solution down last night on the freeways, and because that's where you really have the impact. But you know, the budgets are marginal at best, and they're trying to save money because they're expecting a lot more snow as we move into December and January. So they didn't do what they're supposed to do. I don't think folks thought this stuff was going to turn into the ice, but they should have known. If you said it was slush as opposed to, you know, just snowflakes, you got to figure, you know, wow. So they tell me they're piling up left and right.
Yes, it's pretty ugly out.
So what we got, man, things in state government, I understand a long-time, long-serving African-American official has left his post under pressure. What's up, man? Bring us up to speed.
Well, I've received a press release from the Council on Black Minnesotans, and you know there's been a lot of controversy and an investigation going on into rental car receipts and spending of the executive director, Mr. Lester Collins. And, Mr. Edwards, I also posted last week the 2005 Office of the Legislative Auditor report that said the same thing that the 2011 report said. So I was kind of wondering why they waited till 2011. But anyway, I have an official press release I'd like to share with you, if you don't mind here. It says...
Sure, the listening audience, go right ahead. Let's hear it.
Press release. St. Paul, Minnesota. The Minnesota legislator created the Council on Black Minnesotans in 1980 to ensure that African heritage, people of African heritage, fully and effectively participate in equitable, beneficial of politics, social, and economic resources, policies, and procedures of the state of Minnesota. Okay, that was the fluff piece. Second paragraph, the Council of Black Minnesota acts as a critical link between the community and the state government. This is to inform residents of the state's black communities regarding specific changes we have made in the state Council on Black Minnesotans. Lester R. Collins, formerly the executive director of the agency, is no longer employed by this council. The board of directors of the council wants to assure you that the council office remains open to its constituents, members, and general public. Furthermore, the board of directors wants to assure the communities that we will continue to carry out our charge of advising the governor and legislators on matters confronting the state's African-American population. Signed, George C. Ogbonna, vice chair, Minnesota Council. Or the Council on Black.
All right, then. So why didn't the chair? Is she out of the country? Is the chairperson out of the country, or what? Normally,
she might not know how to do a press release. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, but somebody can do it for her. I mean, they got lawyers and things. If I remember correctly, some of the meetings you've gone to, you talked in terms of the so-called professional level. They got somebody write up a press release. Governor's office could have done that. I assume that the governor must have concurred and said, okay, go ahead and take him on out. So Lester Collins is out after what? Well, how long has he busted been? 23 years? Is that about?
It's 24 years.
24 years for Lester.
Yes.
And now this happened when?
I received this email last week on the November 18th.
And that'd be, well, that's this week, Don. That's
this week.
This week, yeah. And so you got the text, And so they pushed him out on the 17th. Man, has there been anything in the media? Maybe I missed it or something.
There's been nothing in the mainstream media. There's not anything at all. But, you know, I do have this vice chair's telephone number, and I thought we might give it a whirl because he might be at home on this snowy day, Mr. Edwards. What do you think?
Sure. Go ahead, Don. Give him a call. You got the number there. Give him a call.
We're going to go ahead and dial that number right now.
Now, have you heard anything from Lucky Rosenbaum?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
He's stepping down on the 30th. I wonder, was that some kind of package they put together to send both of them out at the same time, even though Lucky's been a intense and consistent critic of the council and Mr. Collins. But I found it interesting now that Lucky's leaving on the 30th, and Mr. Collins was he fired or asked to retire? We'll get to that one.
Okay, yeah, he's not. It's going to the voicemail. Yeah, I don't know. Lucky is still sitting on the Heritage board. He was at a meeting on last Thursday where Mr. Lenny Chisholm was at. And there was really nothing handed out, so no one really knew what was going on. So that was pretty interesting.
Oh, okay. So, who is the interim? I mean, normally when you got a state agency like that, you have an interim in place because you've got to continue to function because the black folk have not gone away. I mean, the class of individuals that you're supposed to be serving have not been, you know, immigrated out of the state. So who's the interim director? Anybody know?
Like I'm saying, Mr. Edwards, this press release is very vague, and that's why I wanted to put a call into someone that might know about this, that would give us a little bit more information, and he doesn't seem to be answering the phone, or he might be on another phone line, because I can keep trying until he answers, because, you know, we got an hour.
Yeah, why don't you just leave him a message and tell him, you know, if he could give us a call at whatever number you have there, we'd sort of like to talk to him.
Well, it's actually ringing right now. Interesting.
Okay, hey, that's out of sight.
Hello?
We are waiting for...
Is this Mr. George C. Agbana?
Yes.
Hi, this is Don Allen with my co-host Ron Edwards. You are live on the air on Point.
Okay.
We are calling today because our radio show broadcasted globally. I received a press release that talked about the Mr. Lester Collins being his services no longer needed with the Council of Black Minnesotans. And we wanted to confirm that with you and find out who the interim director is.
We don't have one yet. The board is yet to make a decision on that.
Okay. Now, another question. I'm actually on the air with my co-host in Studio A at the McIntosh Studios, Mr. Ronald A. Edwards, and he might have a question. But before that, I have a question. Why wasn't this press release put out by the chairman of the board of the Council on Black Minnesotans?
Could you repeat your question again, please?
Yes, sir. I was just wondering, the chairman, Regina Seabrook, did not issue a statement yet. Is there one forthcoming?
Regina is no longer with the council. It's no longer with the board.
Oh, that's breaking news, too. You heard it here first, right on Point. Mr. Edwards, do you have a question for Mr. George?
Yes, I do. And thank you, sir, for giving us a couple minutes on a busy Saturday. The genesis for my comments will be I was one of those many, many years ago that marched and lobbied the legislature to create the Council on Black Minnesotans. So I go back many, many, many years with this organization. Could you just indicate to us very quickly when and how long have you served? When were you appointed, sir?
Say that again?
When were you appointed to the council?
About 2 years ago.
Okay. Now, as I said just seconds ago, I was one of those many African-Americans who marched and hollered for the creation of a council, and there were such high expectations. Now, Mr. Collins has served for about 23 years, and as my colleague Mr. Allen asked the question, he seemed to be dispatched without a lot of ceremony, if you know what I'm saying. And I'm a little bit puzzled about there is no interim person. So who is actually, sir, running the office? Who is facilitating those things that are required by law for the council to do, or in this case, the administrative arm? Is there some particular person?
The board is doing that. The office is well covered. We don't have any problems, and we will make an announcement in the future on that.
Okay. Now, when you say that, sir, will that be an announcement as it pertains to the interim, or will that be an announcement of a search, if you will, or that will, or will that be an announcement that someone has been appointed? Are you going to open this up for application?
Mr. Edwards?
The board has not met yet to make a decision on how what next to do.
All right, okay. My colleague, Mr. Allen, sir, has a question. Go ahead, Mr. Allen.
Well, Mr. Agbada, we have Mr. Lucky Rosenboom joining us now via cell phone. We would like to get into the conversation. How are you doing today, Mr. Rosenboom?
I'm good. I just got back from the gun range. You know me, I like to stay in practice.
You all shoot things up. So the news of, and we have, and we have live on the air with us, Mr. Edwards in Studio A, my co-host, and we also
how you doing, Lucky?
And then we also have on here the vice chair of the Council on Black Minnesotans, the Honorable George C. O. Agbada. Am I pronouncing that right, Mr. Agbada?
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Rosenblum, and just stay with me here. We understand from the vice chair that Ms. Regina Seabrook is no longer with the council.
Yes, that's true.
Go ahead. No, you finish, please.
Yeah, in my opinion, that's very sad because Ms. Seabrook was a very talented educator. She teaches high school educator, social studies teacher, and she brought a lot to the board. In my opinion, in her short term there, she brought respect. In other words, there would be times when board members would argue and take cheap shots and shoot each other down. She brought an environment where we could disagree, but there was a high level of respect where we wouldn't shoot each other down with negative comments or side comments. I'm sad to see her go. I know I was just talking to Representative McFarland yesterday in a meeting. She's sad to see her go. Representative Moran is sad to see her go. I believe most of the board members are sad to see her go. Now, you guys know I've been on the board for 8 years.
Yeah.
I've seen good people come and leave, just like Ms. Seabrook, for the reason that they come in with a high expectation of the council. And when you come in and you've been through what I have been through for years, put down, marginalized, called an Uncle Tom, other board members saying negative things about you in the community, that takes a thick shoulder to deal with that in the state.
Right. Let me do this, Lucky, because we do have the vice chairman, and he was spending some time with us before we were able to reach you. Sir, do you concur with the statements that Board Member Rosenbaum is making? Is that your opinion? Did you feel there was some fragileness on the board?
That's right. Brother Lucky has been on the board for quite some time, and his summary of what has been going on is very accurate, for sure.
Hmm. Okay. Now, within that context, sir, could I ask you, and another board member fully concur that there were a multiplicity of problems, rancorness, and et cetera. Did Mr. Collins try to provide any kind of leadership to send the board in the right direction and by extension, send the mission in the right direction?
In my opinion, I'm not going to talk about Mr. Collins.
Lucky, I'm asking the question to the vice chair.
Brother Lucky is very right. I'm not in a position to answer that question either.
Okay, Lucky, go ahead and answer that then.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about Mr. Collins. I mean, the community and people know what they felt about Mr. Collins, good and or negative. What we need to focus on is that this council is going in a new direction. I believe we have some of the most talented young people on the board. Myself and the vice chair, George, I call him George out of respect and love, we are the oldest members on the board. I feel it's...
Oh, is that right? You at 8 years and him at two? Is that right? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question, because we had asked it of George just before you came on. Will you be a candidate for the executive director's position?
I'm sorry?
Will you be a candidate for the executive director's position?
I have had a lot of people who have asked me that same question. My answer, my answer right now is all I want to do is try to set an example, be a role model for the new members on the board to help them move the many good ideas that they have. If I can play that role, if I can play the role, here's what I'm doing. Whenever I see anything negative that was happening in my 8 years on the council, the moment I see it, I stop it, and I say, you guys, hold on, this is what I've seen before that tore this council apart. So my role for the next 8 months is going to make sure that the council has harmony. If someone sends me an email because we disagree, if there's a cheap shot in the email, rather than respond back with the cheap shot.
I'm a little puzzled, Lucky. Let me ask you this question, because, we had a discussion on it on this program last week. My understanding was prior to the 17th that you had indicated you would be leaving the board on the 30th of November. Was that inaccurate, or do you have another departure?
That was accurate, but I sent out over 200 emails, over 200. The response I got from people calling me on the phone, emailing me, were saying, Lucky, you have been the one person that has been known to hold that board to accountability. As a result of that, I recanted. I contacted the governor's office, the secretary of state's office.
You've withdrawn your announced departure date. Okay, all right, that's it. All right, I understand that. Either you or George can answer this question, because we had asked, had there been an interim appointment, had an interim director been appointed, and the vice chair indicated that the board was kind of running things as it pertains to the administrative obligations. Either one of you gentlemen have a target date of when you will appoint a interim administrator?
Mr. Evers, can you ask that question again, Mr.
All right. Do you have, in light of the statement by the vice chair that the board was running the administrative end of the Council on Black Minnesotans, in other words, sitting as a board and also running the administration, he said that they were very competent people in the office, but the fact of the matter is, you know, I don't know who those persons, quote unquote, would report to. My question was, is there an intention to appoint an interim director within the next, let's say, 10 days?
I believe that what we are doing is responding very well as a group of new board members to the crisis. One of the things that we are doing is looking at an interim director, but also understand we do not feel that we're under any pressure to move quickly without making competent decisions. At this point, as I'm sure George has told you, we have four competent people on our board who are in the office every day.
How many?
Three functions of the office. So, you know,
no, how many people did you say? You said four board members are working in the office at this point?
Four board members are. Now, we're not getting paid. Now, understand, this is the commitment of board members. We're not getting paid, but we understand our responsibility to our community. We understand our responsibility to the governor's office, and we understand our responsibilities as professionals.
I think George indicated a couple of questions to Don to kind of pose.
Yes.
Don, why don't you go ahead, because I can kind of hear the discussion in the background. Go ahead, man.
Yes, gentlemen. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to bring in Mr. Lenny Chisholm, who's just called in, who was at a Council Black meeting, Minnesota's meeting a couple times. But let's just bring you up to speed here. We have Mr. Lucky Rosenblum on the phone, and we also have the vice chair of the Council of Black Minnesota's, Mr. George C. Agbana, on. And before you interject, Lenny, are you there?
I am.
Okay, hello. Okay, I just want
to... I am, Don.
And Mr. Edwards over in Studio A, you can say hello.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just want to... I just have to say this. I need to play devil's advocate. I know, Lucky, I mean, I've been knowing you since I was a kid, grew up on Dale Street. And I know the work that you've done, but I'm having some hard time, and you know what I do, and so I'm having some hard time swallowing that the Council of Black Minnesotans is an effective organization with or without Lester Collins and what they do. I haven't heard in the last, I'll say safely in the last 10 years, I haven't heard a position on education. I haven't heard a position on civil rights. I haven't heard a position on children's issues, economic development, violent prevention, African immigration, or unemployment. Okay.
However, what you have to be very careful of doing is that you cannot bring old behaviors of board members. You cannot bring the past and put that on the current board members.
Okay, look, before I pass, wait, I hear you, but I have to control this flow here. I have to control this flow. Just a minute. Before I let Mr. Chisholm in, here's one thing I have to say. I understand the old issue, but all those issues I just stated are current issues.
But you didn't let me finish my point.
Okay, go ahead.
And I allowed you to finish.
Okay.
So let me finish, and I think I'm going to get to exactly what you're saying. The new board members, we have an economic committee. We have an education committee. We have a legacy committee. We also have a legislative agenda committee. We also have decided with our appointed representative that we are no longer going to beg House members to pass laws. We're actually going to start going down there with our appointed members and introducing and fighting our own bill turning the law. The council has never done that. So when Lenny or anyone else comes to one or two board meetings, they don't see that. But I cannot accept anyone placing old behaviors on the new board members. What you have to do is say what the board has not done, and then give the new board members a chance to make that change. But when you come in and you throw something on new people that have nothing to do with the board, that's inappropriate and that is wrong.
Okay. Okay.
But to say that now, when we have new board members that have only been on for 2 or 3 months, and we are putting together strong agendas. For example, we are going to have the first time a black forum. The first time ever, we are planning a statewide black forum. From that forum, we are going to develop a black agenda.
Okay, Lucky, I'm trying to let you finish, but we're on a time constraint because we only have an hour show today. And I'm going to let Mr. Chisholm respond to that.
Yeah, why don't we just thank both of them. Lucky, appreciate it. Vice Chair George, appreciate it. And appreciate
thank
you gentlemen taking time to be on with us, and then we'll get to Mr. Chisholm. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Chisholm.
Hey, Don.
Yeah. You heard what Mr. Rosenblum has said. I mean, what are your feelings, your thoughts?
Is Lucky still on, or did he leave?
No, we because we got too many people, too much cross conversation.
Yes.
And we had you waiting, so what's your observation?
Well, if I'm correct, Lucky's supposed to leave in a month, right?
No, Lucky said he's withdrawing that. He said he gave notification to the Secretary of State and the Governor's office that he is withdrawing his declaration of intent to step down on the 30th of November. So he's going to stay aboard as a 8-year board member.
So when is his term supposed to end, did he say?
He said 8 months. They would give him 8 months. I assume that's supposed to correspond with his term being up. I'm not sure. That's a question that needs to be posed to the Secretary of State or to the governor's office, because I was trying to understand the logic about don't blame the past board, particularly if you're an eight-year member of the past board, then, at what point do you take full accountability and responsibility? But your observations and thoughts, Lenny, about what they're saying.
Well, I think the clownery over there has been well documented. I think as long as they were not causing harm to white folks, they let them go on and keep doing it. And as a result of that, that's why they've been so inept. Then when we started going over...
Let me ask you this question, because you're kind of at a disadvantage, and apparently you didn't get online until after we're into it. I asked Lucky, the question, first of all, we asked the vice chair, and he indicated, and Lucky concurred, that the board members, there are four board members, are actually running the administrative responsibilities and duties. And that is real dangerous, if you know what I'm saying. He said, of course, they were all volunteers, and, you know, I kind of wonder about that. But we asked a question about an interim director, and no one could seem to give us a clear answer. Is that right, Mr. Allen? Would you agree?
That is correct. That's absolutely
right.
Correct.
Now, I did ask Mr. Rosenbaum if he would be a candidate, if he intended to be a candidate for the permanent position of executive director. I don't know that he gave us a real strong definitive yes or no. But as a citizen, what is your take when you remove, particularly when you remove a 23-year employee who was the head of the agency? Shouldn't you have had an administrative person in place to serve at least on an interim basis? What's your take on that? I mean, you're over there. You know a little bit about state government and how they think. What's your take on that?
Well, the way that the bylaws and the way that the legislature wrote that legislation for them to create the councils, it gives them a lot of freedom and flexibility to basically run them as they want. And that's how Lucky and so on and the rest of them for 8 years to sit there with basically no results. So they were still getting the money, but they weren't producing anything. No public policy was being brought to forefront for the community to understand what positions that the council was going to take on them. So they wasn't there to do anything. They were just there to basically do the Martin Luther King annual day. And I'm not sure what they did prior to Martin Luther King Annual Day. I mean, I literally don't know what they did before that, because that was way before I got involved with them. But the issue is the bylaws are not written in such a way that would allow that to occur. So if they wanted to put an interim director in right away, it's not written in their bylaws that, of this process to even do that.
Okay. So
the
bylaws
time,
would technically give them the latitude to just select four of themselves, and they just kind of run the office and et cetera, right? As volunteers.
As volunteers. In fact, that's one of the, when I went over to the legislature this year and I said we need to put in a term limit on the council executive director, because he had been there 24 years, and I said they need to figure out a way to make it a dynamic, not a static council.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have somebody be there 24 years. That's a dictatorship. That's not a position that will allow for turnover and for other people's thoughts and to come to play. I mean, that's similar to the structure of the black church. You know, once a guy forms a church, he stays there until eventually he decides he wants to leave. Well, that's not what was needed. I mean, we needed a dynamic council. So we start pushing for that, and the legislation is still on the table for the 2012 session to permanently make the councils have to terminate every time every governor has to the option of putting a new council executive director there. So what Lucky is saying is that, and I'm surprised to hear he's saying because he's part of that problem. He has been and he continues to be, and I'll make that statement to him. And some of the things that went on there were the direct results of the makeup of the board.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to somehow make the bylaws for those councils become more aggressive, so that they are actually over there addressing the public policy needs of the African descent of this state.
Okay.
Lucky
indicated that in a response to Mr. Allen, and I felt that that maybe Lucky was a little bit irritated with the examination, but everything has to be examined in a democracy, so that'll continue to happen. But Lucky indicated that the council and its board and whatever administrative staff is still in place are working on a statewide survey, really. He said did he say a series of meetings down or a one-time meeting to take a look at problems statewide? And he said it's the first time that's ever happened. That actually is not true. That happened many years ago in the early days of Mr. Collins, and so it's not something that's new. But Mr. Allen had raised the question about issues like education, et cetera, and, of course, we were basically told that those are not things that should be reviewed. That was the old board, give the new board 8 months. First of all, I've always assumed that when people are appointed to entities, if you will, like these kinds of boards, that it doesn't take them 8 months to hit the ground running. You're supposed to be able to hit the ground running after you're sworn in at your first meeting. Have you heard any of the discussion within the board during the times that you've dropped in on them about this statewide survey, meeting, examination of the problems of the people of African descent?
Well, see, that's one of the basics that I think they have already started off on the wrong foot. Their purpose is to advise the governor on legislation that's on the table, things that the government's currently working on. So right now they're working on the stadium issue. So they have to be in there trying to advise the governor and give the governor some input on the stadium legislation. Then if there's legislation related to the education, then they have to be able to go and testify as to what position they believe the people of African descent needs to be taken for them. So
okay.
It's not an issue of setting their own agenda as far as, you know, education and health care. It's whatever the legislature is working on. They
there
have
you
to
go.
Be actively involved in giving opinions and testifying for the people of African descent in the state of Minnesota.
And holding public hearings.
Correct.
To garner information and the opinion of the masses that are affected by this. And that's what I think people like myself and others have been saying for years and years. We never see that. I don't know the last time that the Council on Black Minnesotans has issued a report entitled "The State of Black Minnesota."
No,
that's it. Yeah,
Mr. Edwards, Mr. Chisholm, I'm going to tune into another caller here that we have holding here online.
Oh, let's get him on and keep Lenny with us here. Go ahead.
You're live on point, man. Who's calling?
Well, I was disconnected. This is lucky. I don't want Lenny to think that I left when he was responding. So, Lenny, are you there?
I'm still here.
Yeah, I think everything Lenny is saying is appropriate. I think everything he's saying is right on point. However, what Lenny and others have to realize is that we are not a limited body of people. President Obama said himself during his election is that any black organization has to be able to multitask. What that means is that we can advise the governor. We can focus on all those issues that Lenny has raised. But it doesn't mean that the other issues that I'm talking about, we cannot focus on. What you guys need to do, your argument right now, and I still say this, your argument is directed at the past. As far as the new board members, your argument really has no merit. It has no substance because you can't say what they have not done. You need to give this new board 8 months, 9 months, so you can come back and say, what have you done? Lenny, you guys are talking in the past.
Excuse me, gentlemen. We'll accept that. So give us an idea, Lucky, of some of the new innovative things you're going to be doing in the future. Let's take a look at job development. Give us your take on this. What are you proposing to the governor and the legislature on job creation and dealing with the significant disparity gap in Minnesota as pertains to blacks and whites?
One of the things that I said to the new board members is what Lenny has said. We have failed the people when it came to every area that Lenny has raised. There's no argument there. You guys know I have been saying the same thing for 8 years. So what we have to do now as a board is to sit down and develop an agenda from what we hear from the community. Now, when it comes to jobs, we all know that when it comes to jobs, there's racism. We all know that some people are discriminated before they can even apply for a job because of the name. We have this whole new system of racism, electronic racism, where
We understand the format. Okay, I got you. By the way, what's the timetable, Lucky? Do you have a timetable?
I'm answering the question. But what Lenny has to understand is that Lucky Rosenbloom is not the kind of person that feels I have to please everyone. No matter what we do as a board, there are going to be some people who agree and some people who disagree. That's the nature of our business. But we are not afraid to stand up and take positions on what we believe we need to take positions on based on what we are hearing from our community. If Lenny doesn't agree with that, if anyone else doesn't agree with that, all I can say is,
Lucky,
brother,
just,
I understand.
Just answer the question.
But stay at the time table.
Give us the timetable. What timetable are you talking about?
I've told you guys,
I repeated, talking about that you will get your recommendations
you guys,
to the legislature and to the governor. What's your time?
I repeat, give us 8 months. Now, that's not that's not saying that within 8 months we're not going to be doing anything. Within 8 months, we're going to be doing a lot. For example, one of the things that we're sitting down talking about is actually getting involved in the legislative agenda. But understand what I just said. We are not going to just ask and beg these people for anything. We are going to actually be sitting down, creating with our state-appointed members, we're going to be creating, introducing, arguing our own bills to turn into law. That has never been done at the council. It's going to be done this next legislative session. We are going to have a very powerful council like you guys have never seen before. 8 months is what I'm asking. I'm going to tell you, Lenny.
So then, but
Lucky,
8 months. So let me now, because we don't want to, we don't want to filibuster back and forth here. We want to deal with specificity. If you talk in terms of giving you 8 months, then you're not talking in terms of being able to do anything with the legislature until the 2013 session. The legislature, Lucky, the legislature of 2012 would have met taking care of its business and be preparing for 2013. Okay,
absolutely.
Just want to be clear on the timeline. That's why I'm asking timeline.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, anybody else got any questions?
Yeah, but with that, Ron, it does not mean that we cannot do what we're doing now, which is setting down.
Certainly. If that's
in other words, what I'm saying is 8 months, come back and measure us on our outcomes, what you're going to put your hands on to say what this new board has done. And what this
Lucky,
new
let me
board
ask you this question. You think the black community in Minnesota has got that long?
I think anything you do has to be thought out well. It has to be thought out with a strategic plan for measurable outcomes. This is a council that is not going to get in to just acting quickly, doing things that does not make any sense, that would not have a long, strong impact on the black community that can withstand the test of time. Anything black organizations do out of a crisis that is too quick is never sustaining. This council was a planning council. These members are a strategic council. And whatever we do, I guarantee it's going to have a long, positive impact on our black community.
I understand what you're saying. What we should do is just we'll wait 8 months for that to happen. Let me ask you a specific question, and then I'll let my colleague and others speak. Have you completed the process for the contract for the Martin Luther King event this coming January? Has that process been completed, and has that contract been awarded?
That contract is completed. It's been awarded. Myself and other board members have some concerns. I guarantee you one thing. The way that contract
now,
went down this time around.
Now, these are old new board members, Lucky.
New board members.
Oh, okay.
We have some serious concerns. We've already started to put some things in place so that next year, it's going to be a totally new look at how whoever is selected is going to be selected. I guarantee it. The way
you don't have the authority and power to withdraw that contract and start over again?
You know what, Ron? You guys, what sense would it make to withdraw a contract now and we have, 1 or 2 months to get this thing together? To do something like that would be the stupidest thing.
I don't think it's stupid, Lucky. I think it's something that is within the domain of your legal responsibilities and what you can do.
You've stated your position,
no problem. But don't call it stupid.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
But it's not wise. It would not be wise to do that.
Okay,
even though it's within our scope to do it, it's not wise. Go ahead.
Lucky, okay, let me interject something here.
Please.
Now, more than 90 days ago, I sent an email to the former director, executive director of the Council of Black Minnesotans, asking him to see the RFP for the Martin Luther King celebration event, the $10,000 contract. Okay.
Okay.
To this day, I have not gotten an answer. Okay. Now, historically, this $10,000 contract has gone to, and I'm speaking off facts, this is not speculation, to a romantic interest of someone in the office of the Council of Black Minnesotans. I'll say that. And so how can it...
You said that, I didn't.
I said, so how can this contract get awarded to that same person last year in the same situation and nothing's been done? There is no historical archive of anything that you guys done on the web for the last 5 years for Martin Luther King. And matter of fact, when you go to the website, the 2011 January 15th event is still up there. So that's someone not paying attention to detail.
I love your question because you are right on point. Let me remind you that when you were requesting that information, I was one of the ones that was telling you what to do, and if you didn't get it, I wanted to know about it.
Yeah, well, I didn't.
No, okay. And number two, understand, look at the new direction of the council. If you are requesting information that you didn't get, if other people have been requesting information that they didn't get, I am telling you, based on a recent action of the board, all that's going to change. When you are at a board meeting, you know I said to the board that when community members request information that is public information, they need to get that information in a timely manner. We passed a motion that will start happening. Okay? So you can't take 15 years of what I have been saying has been dysfunction of the council and expect that to change overnight. This is a part of the 8-month process that I'm talking about, is new board members, the vice chair, looking at all these things that we believe have been wrong and putting things in place to change those things, but doing it in an intelligent way, a professional way that the community will be proud of.
Okay, well, tell me.
That is what we are about doing.
So in answer to
your question, when you request that information is going to be provided in a timely manner. However, we are going to have a process by which you get that information. For example, if you come to me and ask for that information.
I understand, and then we're getting into the mic and stuff like that, but what I want to know is this year, what advertising, marketing, and public relations organization was awarded that contract?
Well, let me tell you what we did that we're going to follow up on. Remember, I was the chair of the current Legacy Committee.
Yes.
We have money going out to the spokesman. We have money going out to Insight. We have money going out to KMOJ. We had money that was circulating in the black community from the Legacy Fund, the chair, which I was the chair of the Legacy Committee, which I chaired.
Okay,
well, I made sure some of that money went into our community, as well as over $150,000 went into various entities in our community to promulgate and preserve black culture. So we started a process that I think the community is proud of. Let me make one more comment.
Museum.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
One of these things is Rock Hands Givens Museum, correct?
Absolutely. But something else we are doing with the museum piece. When I was a kid and when you guys were growing up, remember when we used to go down to Minnesota History Society? We had to go in there and wonder if we were going to see anything black. The Council on Black Minnesotans, under my leadership, because I started this project, we have now developed a partnership with the Minnesota History Center, where the Council on Black Minnesotans will meet with the History Center staff quarterly for the purpose of assuring that there will always be black exhibits. We're talking about having black curators, so we no longer have white people explaining the history of black people at the History Center. We're talking about having young people come to the History Center to be paid stipends as curators. So, you know, when you guys say things, I hear what you're saying, but you're not aware of some of the things that we already have in place.
And then my
now
original,
tell me,
my original
tell
question,
me, you guys, now you have to admit,
original
you
question,
have to admit.
But Lucky, my
go
original
ahead, I'm sorry.
Question was who, what advertising, marketing, and public relations agency was awarded the 2012 Martin Luther King contract from the Council of Black Minnesotans for $10,000?
Understand, I was not a part of that.
I
well,
understand.
Just answer the question, man. We didn't ask you. You don't want to answer
I'm answering the question.
Name the firm.
You may not
it,
like
man.
To answer. You may not like
it's
to answer.
It.
I'm answering the question.
Short
you don't
answer
like
firm.
To answer. I'm
answer
answering
it.
The question. You don't like to answer.
You're
see,
not giving
what
the name
guys,
of a firm, though.
This is what you guys are not used to.
You're not used to people questioning your buffoonery that you've been doing over that council. And thus you don't answer
I have
stuff.
Answered
you
your
answer
question.
The question Lucky.
I've answered the question. You have not accepted the answer.
Well, okay.
What was the name of the firm?
To that question, this is Don. What is the answer to that question that I just asked?
What was your question, Don?
The question was, what advertising public relations marketing agency won the contract for 2012 Martin Luther King Day? That's my question.
Okay. Okay, and that is one of the issues that the board was taking up by saying we, as a board, did not know some of that stuff. There was a lot of little things going on.
Is there a name of a company that wanted or
listen,
not?
Listen. There's a lot.
Lucky,
there was a
you're
lot.
You're not
of
answering the question, man.
Is
there a name of a company or not?
I have answered your question. Listen to the answer.
You didn't give a name of a firm.
Listen to the answer. There
it's
was
like
a
the
lot
company.
Of, there was a lot
contract.
Of things. There was a lot of little things like that going on that the board
okay,
is not and was not aware of. That's
contract.
The answer. That's the answer to your question. Listen to the answer to your question. There was a lot
so, so
of little things.
So the name of the
things.
Firm was
called George.
Was what?
Listen to
what
the question.
What was the name of the firm?
Are you listen to the question, and I won't keep
what
answering.
What was the name of the firm?
We have another call.
Listen,
you got
listen to the answer, because I'm not going to keep answering. So listen for the last time.
You haven't answered the question, Lucky.
Stand by, Mr. Everett.
Okay.
Stand by.
Okay.
Oh, I'm just listening. I'm just listening to what Lucky is saying to us.
Point.
Listen, you guys, listen to the answer. There were a lot of things going on that the board did not
so, in
know
other
about.
Words, the contract should be suspended because of those
no,
things.
No, Lucky said
it
that was
a
silly and stupid
contract.
Question. No,
it
that's all right. Look,
contract,
what we'll do, what we do is we just go to the legislative auditor and ask them the question.
Okay, appreciate
absolutely.
It. You know,
absolutely. Lucky, do you actually know the name of the company?
Lucky was disconnected, but we have another
that's
caller.
Me calling in.
Caller, go ahead.
Hello?
You're live on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a question for Mr. Rosenberg.
Rosenblum. Yeah.
For the 8 years that he's been at the Council of Black Minnesotans, and we on this King, what has the council and itself have done to address the institutional racism and the so-called psychological technique that has been put in place here for some years to beat people down when they come to the Council of Minnesota and when they go to the civil rights? Lucky seems like he's got this illusion in his head where he's got all of the answers for the wrong people, but he has no answers for the right people, which is the people in the community.
Yeah. Sir, I think you're absolutely on point, if
okay,
you will.
Lucky calling the studio line again.
Well, you know, we got other calls coming in because, you know, if you're not able to answer the question, and I agree with Mr. Chisholm and other callers, the question was who was the firm? I mean, I thought that was reasonable, respectful, you know, and appropriate. And, you know, he doesn't want to listen. He doesn't want to indicate who that company was. Also, he needs to know that he made a statement to you, Mr. Allen, which is rather interesting. I think maybe Mr. Chisholm picked up on it. He said that 90 days, when you indicated that 90 days ago you had asked about the process, mm-hmm. and he went to great lengths to talk in terms that he had helped and educated you and had told you to make him aware if nothing didn't happen. You see, on one of our on-demand programs, we have him on the air indicating he was on top of that.
Yeah.
And so I'm puzzled by his response to us that was a stupid question on our part. But he is on demand on this program indicating that he was on top of that issue. And Mr. Allen provided information and intel to him over 3 months ago. So, hey, you know, the whole thing here is credibility. But go ahead, Mr. Allen.
I think one of the things that the gentleman is hinting at is that, and I think, Ron, you said it exactly correct, the legislature opens up on January 24th, I believe. At
yes.
that time, the council has to be aggressively going over, reviewing all the bills that are being put forth at the
uh-huh.
legislature. And if they can, testify
on behalf of the citizens of African descent on a regular basis, which is something they've never done that I've seen. I've been going there roughly about 3 years now. That's the process that the council is ultimately responsible for doing. The final piece, and I know you guys have to wrap up, is that we also have to add into there that no council member can serve no more than two terms consecutively. That's part of what one of the problems we have, too, is that if Lucky's been there 8 years and we've seen less than favorable results, why would we want to give him two more to put it in there to give him 10? That's a decade. That's part of the problem, is that these positions have to have dynamic turnover, and if he's not willing to move on at some point in time, then we have to put mandatory move-on strategies
term limits,
and
term
techniques
limits,
in
yes.
place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely on point, sir. Absolutely
so
on
that,
on
that's
point.
What I'm finding is the worst part of it. And I know you guys have to wrap up, so I won't take up more of your time, but I really appreciate the vibrant discussion that we've had today.
Thank you, and we do too. Thank you, sir. Mr. Allen, how much time do we actually have left?
We have about 9 minutes, 9 minutes, 4 seconds.
Okay, by the way, to the last caller, prior to Mr. Chisholm, the gentleman who raised those very compelling questions and examination of what has the council really done. As I said earlier in this program, I was one of those that was out there fighting and arguing and being identified by some people, even in the black community, as a troublemaker and et cetera, for saying that the African-American community deserved that kind of mechanism, the councils, if you will. In fact, it led to the creation of at least four other councils dealing with racial groups. And so I've watched closely over the many, many, many years how the council has functioned. There are things that have been done that Lucky was incorrect when he said that it had never been done before. That's just not true.
We have a call. To...
All right, go ahead, get him.
You're live on the air. Who are we speaking with? Hello?
This is James. I'm calling back again because I didn't really get a chance to really complete what I really wanted to say.
We're sorry, James. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
You know, through all this madness that's going on, and you would think that right about now that everybody, since how you two, and kudos to Ron, Don, and Lenny, you guys have whooped these people, put them on burn notice. They're walking around here now acting like they, now that the money's gone, the plantation is drying up. Yeah, we need new leadership, but we cannot keep going back to the same dead leadership. These people look as such as Lucky Rosenbloom, he doesn't know what sincerity means. He's been there for 8 years. He hasn't done anything other than being a change agent for the governor. You're the only minority in the whole state that the governor likes. That don't look too good across the country, first and foremost. When you're talking about Dr. Martin Luther King, you all have not done anything to address the institutional racism and break up the plantation mentality, which these agencies and entities, Negroes like Lucky Rosenbloom, who will sit there and do their bidding, do their dirt, and then run back to their nice little enclave suburb home and act like they've done nothing wrong.
All right. Yeah. All right.
The jig is
Anything
up.
Else,
the game is over. It's time to come with new sincerity and new leadership. You don't need a bunch of buffooneries and cooneries.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it, sir. Again, Mr. Allen, I have to indicate to you that there was a specific moment on this program that raises serious questions about credibility because Lucky went to great lengths to inform the listening audience that he was giving you guidance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he confirmed that you had expressed concern to him and others over 90 days ago. And that's the reason, by the way, that was the genesis for me asking him that question. Would he be prepared to invalidate that contract? He said that you know, was clearly something ridiculous and et cetera. The fact of the matter is state law almost demands and compels a organization whose representatives have declared publicly that they thought that there was a serious problem with the awarding of a contract, and yet they are not prepared to ask that that contract be made invalid. Under Minnesota law, that's a gross misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I just think that some of us, I'm not calling on anybody else, I think some of us should ask the governor to examine immediately and ask the Attorney General to examine immediately that contract. You know, when you got a person on here who's talking in terms that they've been there for 8 years and play a game with Mr. Chisholm, yourself, and the listening audience, and not respond to a specific question. No one was confused about the question except apparently Lucky, I guess. And not to give the name. By the way, Mr. Allen, I'm going to ask you the question. Do you know the name of that entity?
I do not know. I do not know.
Okay. Well, I suggest for the purposes of our own transparency that we ask that question of the legislative auditor as early as Monday morning.
Oh, yes. I'm definitely
going to. And I intend to do that on my own. I don't intend to wait to have anybody carry any water for me. Mm-hmm. I intend to ask the legislative auditor to reveal that name, and I think that every website and et cetera that we command, we need to put that name on the website.
Yes.
So I'm challenging you. I'm challenging myself. I'm challenging anyone else that is listening to do that, because I'm greatly troubled legally by the fact that a member of the board was not prepared to identify the name of the entity and the circumstances.
Yes, I agree.
Of why they recognized that there was a problem with that contract and that contract was being consummated in violation of state law and yet have done nothing about it. I mean, to me, that's serious. You know, and I don't have to wait for 8 months. You know, I know I intend myself to do that as soon as humanly possible, and that is on Monday morning.
Yeah.
To be able to talk about it on this program a week from today.
All right. We're going to need to, because that was just too strange. I am trying to. There was a woman. Remember, I told him, Mr. Edwards, I was talking to Lucky. There was a young lady that was in a relationship with the executive director that seemed to always get these $10,000 contracts. And I'm not sure if she got it again, but the reason why I asked Lucky what was the name of the public relations advertising and marketing agency, because I know for a fact it has never went to one. It always went to an individual. That check was always written to an individual.
Right.
So, it'd be very interesting to find out this time who that individual is. So.
I think so, and I think that the governor's office needs to be made aware that when that question was asked of a person who has fiduciary responsibility and authority under color of law, that person was not willing to indicate that name, particularly in light of the statements and declarations that you had made. And I mean, there needs to be transparency. We, you know, like to use that word a lot here in America. There needs to be transparency, and there needs to be examination of this process, because I know for a fact that over 90 days ago you were chit-chatting with Lucky, keeping him appraised, and, in fact, helping him gather the necessary information to go on the attack against Lester Collins' tenure as executive director of the Council on Black Minnesotans. You know,
mm-hmm.
And by the way, we haven't even come back to the whole thing of oops, the whole issue of the tobacco fund.
Oh yes, which is going to be another hot topic. I posted both of those, the $1.31 million and the $800,000 that went to the African American Family Services while Lissa Jones was the executive director, who also sat as secretary of the Council of Black Minnesotans, and no one has given me a report about that, but I was told by Ms. Natalie Lee Johnson that if I have any questions, to give her a call.
Natalie Johnson Lee, yeah. Yeah, I know, and my understanding and recollection is that never really happened, but hey, it doesn't make any difference now. Lucky has said this is a new day. This is a new board, whatever that means, though it couldn't be that new, that is getting ready to initiate and implement significant changes. That what they have to understand, in that, you know, he went to great lengths to tell us what we had to understand. They have to understand that everyone in a democracy has the freedom to follow everything step by step.
Yes,
okay?
That's
step
fair.
By step. And so that means that there will begin to be postings which will ask questions of the Council on Black Minnesotans and its current volunteer staff on what things they're doing, where they're at on that. As an example, we'd like to get a feel on what goals are they suggesting to the governor that would be appropriate to deal with African-American employment on the new Viking Stadium if it ever comes to fruition, right?
Oh, yeah.
What's their recommendations, okay? How can we protect the integrity of those subcontractors and contractors who would be bidding on that, who are of the African-American ancestral persuasion, if you will. So, hey, these are things, to Lucky, if you're listening in, these are the kind of things we'll be doing, my friend. We'll be working hand in hand.
All right. We'd like to thank everybody for listening on point. We've got a little bit under 10 seconds. Have a great weekend.
Great day. Take care.
Put your bad stuff.